I'm not audible. Good morning. Are we well this morning? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, on Friday I realized that many times we don't get the opportunity, or rather we don't give ourselves the opportunity to give testimonies. And I was telling my wife on my way here that I have a testimony to give, but I know that many a times when I get to the pulpit, I will normally forget everything and just focus on preaching. But today, I guess there's a heavy testimony that I cannot continue without passing it. So if you can allow me, I don't know what you used to do back where you come from when it's time for testimonies, Pastor Nilen. Yeah, so, you know, our journeys in life are ordered by the Lord. And I know many times we find it difficult to see that, because truth is, our journeys only make sense when you look back in retro. But as you go on, sometimes it's not so clear, it's fuzzy. You don't know what you're doing and where you're going. But now and again, it makes it, you have to stop as you have traveled a journey, stop a bit and look back. And we climb many mountains. I like mountains. One of the beautiful things about mountains is they give you a beautiful vista. They give you a beautiful view of where you have come from. And I've climbed many mountains in my life. And on this one that I'm standing on this morning, I would like to stop and give thanks. I want to give thanks to the Lord for, let me start with this family, Jam family. You know, Paul, one time he was shipwrecked at Malta. And he said something very powerful about the people, the barbarians at Malta. He says, "I've never seen such kindness. These people have shown us uncommon kindness." Now, I didn't know up until I thought about that scripture that Paul had never been home. Yeah, he didn't have home. I have home. And so as a result, I've seen an uncommon kindness from each one of you. I think from the time before we got married to the time, I think right now it's appropriate for me to say this because the whole family is here. So on behalf of my wife and our beloved Kamani, that's his name, a son, we are so grateful, so thankful. We've seen your kindness, we've seen your love, and we don't have to be told that we belong, but you've let us know that we belong and we are a family. And for that, we want to thank you for your prayers, for your many advices. I mean, look, I've never received so many advices in my life about what to do with the baby than now. Yeah, and on Friday, I received the hot oil massage. Yeah. So we thank you. I think all those advice have been very helpful. So thank you so much. But I want to add to that and say this. You have been blessed. And I think on Friday, those who were here, you will notice that Pastor Ronald almost chased me. I don't know if you noticed. But he stopped himself. I don't know. You know, when you are growing up in a house, there's a stage where your father tells you, get out of the house. on Friday, he I think the spirit held him. So I'm going to pretend like he didn't say anything about anybody. I'm going to pretend like he didn't say anything else, and I'm going to serve up until such time he says, listen, get out. But I want to thank God for Pastor Ronald and Sister Rowena. You've heard me before when I said, scripturally and biblically, we shouldn't even have this idea of spiritual mother. But I know because we are natural people, we understand father and mother. But scripturally, they together are spiritual father. They represent our Father in heaven together because they are one. So it's difficult sometimes to say spiritual mother, because to me, spiritual doesn't make sense. But I know it makes sense to you. So I want to thank them. And I think a few weeks ago, I wish I had spoken to Mish to put those pictures. I sent him pictures that there have been many times in my life that he stood by me, and he stood for me, and there have been many times that he spoke for me, and I think I'm grateful to look back now and realize that I have not been alone in this journey, but I had somebody standing with me, standing for me. You know, it's easy to stand with somebody, but it's something else to stand for somebody, that you tell them, you don't have to stand, I'll stand for you. You don't have to speak, I'll speak for you. So I'm grateful, and I thank you for that. I think, that's my testimony. Normally after someone give a testimony, you clap your hands. Amen. So having said that, I want to bless the Lord that we are here to continue. But before I go on, there's somebody who's disturbing me. Who has this terrible headache? There's somebody with a terrible headache. Where are you? There's somebody with a terrible headache here. Who? Just come quickly. You are disturbing me, sir. I wanted to continue, but I couldn't continue. The Bible says, heal the sick and cleanse the leprosy. It doesn't say pray for the sick. It says heal the sick. Heal the sick. So you shouldn't have that headache anymore. In fact, I'm going to do something for you. A few years ago, between the year 2010, 2013, I developed a very bad heartbeat to a point that I was almost a heart condition patient. But I'll tell you what healed me. In fact, funny enough, Pastor Ronald drove me to the hospital, paid for my hospital expenses. I'm sure to his disappointment, when they came back, they said, there's nothing wrong with this guy. Yet for days before that, I was sick. So sick that he actually took me into his house. I slept in that house for those days because I could not help myself. But I remember when I came back from hospital, I said, love heals. Yeah, nothing. He didn't do anything. We didn't have all night prayer in his house. They just gave me tea, coffee, and everything else. And to this day, I don't complain about sickness of heart. Right? So I know love heals. So, Mr. Leverton, you don't deserve to have that headache. I'm going to ask you. I'm going to one person I'll just lay hand on you. Just lay it. And I know as you walk away from there, you'll be healed. So be sick no more. Pastor, just lay your hand on him as he passed by. Just lay the hand. Don't say anything. Just lay hand. Praise the Lord. Just give God a hand of praise.
Thank you,
this
Jesus.
Man is healed.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. 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 Praise yes. The Lord. Heal the sick. Cleanse the leprosy. That's what the Bible says. Amen.
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 Yeah, you must say amen. It's okay to say amen in church. You are more than welcome. You're more than welcome. You're more than welcome. You're more than welcome. Man, I want to preach, but there's people disturbing me here this morning. I really want to preach. 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 I like this team. It's a male team. I like it. It's a perfect team. Yeah. It's a perfect team. I don't know where you learn music, but you're going to have to catch up this morning.
We'll catch up.
Praise the Lord. Find your Bibles in the book of Genesis. Genesis 37. Brother Gerald, how's that headache? You hear him? What headache? What headache? What Amen. Headache? I'm Amen. Asking him, how's that headache? He says, what headache?
Amen. Yes. Amen. I believe.
All right. All right. Matthew, just come here, sir, quickly. We're going to prevent that kidney attack on you. Come there. Just lay hand on him. You will not have that kidney attack in the name of Jesus, irrespective of who said what and how it's going to happen. You are declared healed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Come, give God a hand of praise. Right, right. Genesis 37. reading from verse 5 to 8. It reads as follows. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamt. There were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brother said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Do you remember that? Now I'm going to transport you to after they've sold him, after he has been to Egypt, after he has been out of prison. And that is in chapter 50 of the book of Genesis. It reads as follows. I'm just reading two verses, verses 19 and 21. It reads as follows. Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them, and he spoke kindly to them. I'm going to ask you to look at someone next to you and ask them, "When last you spoke kindly to me?" That has just healed somebody. That has just restored somebody. Tell them, "Speak kindly to me."
Speak kindly to me.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Are you guys comfortable? Can we leave you there? Yeah, maybe you're fine. Okay, cool. I want to share with you this precious morning on a topic around gracious tongue. Tell somebody, "May your tongue be gracious to me." Yeah, you must plead with people. "May your tongue be gracious to me." The Bible says, Joseph spoke kindly to them. It's very coincidental that your pastor is Joseph. Joseph spoke kindly to them. To quickly give you the context of the story, Joseph was the last born of his father who had more than one wife. He happened to be the son of the wife whom the father loved more than anyone else. And the Bible says his father loved him the most because he bore him. He bore him in his old age. You must understand the story because it's very important that you grasp why it's important for Joseph to speak kindly to them, and why is that important? The Bible says, as he was telling them, "I've got a dream," he didn't ask for these dreams. And all his dreams, what is funny about his family, his brothers could interpret his dreams. Everybody around Joseph did not wonder what does Joseph's dreams mean. No one, till this point, nobody has dreamt in that family, and then we interpret it. In fact, the Bible does not tell us anything about it. But here this time, Joseph had a dream, and every time he dreams, they accurately interpret his dream. In fact, his brothers asked the question, are you saying we're going to serve you? He never said anything else. He said, I dreamt of sheaves standing up to my sheave. Later on, I dreamt of stars, 12 stars, and the moon and the sun bowing down to me. The Bible says his father corrected him, rebuked him, but he kept it to mind. He remembered what Joseph said. Note, if you will, Joseph's dreams, instead of his family to appreciate them, Joseph's dreams caused his brothers to hate him. It doesn't say dislike him, hate him. I wish I could be talking to young people and talk about dreams that makes others to hate you. Dreams that makes the world to hate you. Dreams that makes even the devil to run after you because you have these kind of dreams. I don't know what kind of dreams you dream in. Joseph had dreams. Dreams such his own sibling wanted to kill him. And in fact, at one time they attempted to do so. But you see, something powerful about God and something powerful about destiny. When your destiny is pulling you, nothing can deter you, nothing can kill you. When his brothers has already determined, we are going to kill this boy today. Because we are sick and tired, not of him, but we are sick and tired of his dreams and all his words. They didn't hate him, they hated his dreams. The Bible says, Judah said, don't kill him. Let's sell him. See, when destiny is pulling you, the Ishmaelites will come from nowhere. And they'll transport you for free to where you are going. He had no way. You see, they were at a place called Dothan. In the middle of nowhere, the Ishmaelites came and they're on their way to Egypt. Somehow they transported him for free. Well, they paid to actually transport him. And they got paid where they were going to transport this. Note, if you will, he arrives at Potiphar's house. What bothers me, the Bible says, and God was with Joseph. And I'm sure on the 21st century Christian, they'll ask, how can God be with him and yet he was sold? Now talk to me. And God was with him and yet he is just being sold as a slave. And he started cleaning the house of Potiphar, making things right. And the Bible says, and God was with Joseph. I understand that in the 21st century, we only think and believe that God can only lead us to nice places. And that if I'm with God, I'll never walk. I'll always drive. If I'm with God, I'll never be hungry. But in the pit, God was with Joseph. When he was being sold, God was with Joseph. You have to know God in all phases, in all stages, in all situations. Personally, I don't trust anybody who does not know God in his hunger or her hunger. Personally, I don't trust somebody who does not know God in their difficult times. Somebody who only knows God who provides 5-star course meal, I don't trust that person. Note, if you will, Joseph had every reason also to hate them back because he's a last born. He's about 17 years old, sold to slavery, to a land he does not know. He gets there because God was with him. The Bible says, whatever he touched, God increased. Whatever he touched, God multiplied. Whatever he touched, God's hand was on it. To a point that in no time, Potiphar said, listen, Joseph, everything that I have, everything that I own, it's under your control. The Bible says the only thing Potiphar had to think about was the meal he's about to eat. That's the only thing he had to think about, but everything else was taken care of because Joseph was in the house. Note, I want to speak to you this morning and highlight the things we call fundamentals, things we call principles. See, principles are teachings that says, for you to understand mathematics, there's only 10 numbers, 0 to 9. And if you know them, that's all you have to know. Because out of them, you'll get all the other amounts. So here's a principle. Everything and any number you add to 1, it increases by 1. So if I tell you 100,000 million plus 1, all you do, you don't have to worry about everything else. You just add 1 to it. That's a principle. And that principle will be true today, true tomorrow, and all the time. That's a principle. And whether that number is written in Arabic or is written in Xhosa or any other language, it's the same number. Whatever you add to 1 increases by 1. Note, if God is with you, it doesn't matter whether you are in the pit, you are in prison, or you are in the palace. And that's all you have to know. You shouldn't worry where you're at. No, no, no. That doesn't matter. You should worry, is God with me? That's a principle. If God is with you, that's all the audience you need. See, if God is with you, you can stand against 1,000 army. And you are the majority. Simply because there's a principle. God is with you. If God is with you and you have cancer, it doesn't make God any less. In fact, you should be proud to say, I have cancer and I've got God. And see what he does. We have adopted this type of Christianity that shies away from trouble. That shields us from tough times. Somehow we want to embrace a Christianity that says, if God is with me, then I should never suffer. I like the song Waymaker and everything else, but I've got a problem with it. Because sometimes we want to send God like he's a spell to say, Waymaker, miracle worker, work things for me. When God wants you, he wants to exalt himself through you. He wants you in the pit. But you are praying, God, take the pit away from me. Oh, you are praying, God, take trouble away from my family. And God wants you to go through trouble so that he can be seen in your life in those troubles. He wants you to get sick. Somebody must get that. He wants you to get sick. So you can declare in the name of Jesus. Over the years, Pastor Ronald, we've gotten used to shielding people, and therefore we pray for the sick. No, heal the sick, the Bible says. Paul and Silas says, silver and gold we have none, but such as we have, we give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Here, if you will. Joseph gets an incident, I won't get into it, with Potiphar's wife, wrongly accused, back to jail. And the Bible says, and God was with Joseph in jail. So much that the jailer, the man taking care of the jail, never did his job anymore. Everything else he left to Joseph. It was Joseph's responsibility to see all the prisoners are in. Joseph's responsibility to make sure everyone has eaten. Joseph's responsibility to make sure that the prison is habitable. What kind of prisoner is this? See, one of the things you must remember, it was Joseph's dreams that actually got him into trouble. If he never dreamt the way he dreamt, his brothers wouldn't have done the things they did to him. But isn't it funny that the very same dreams that he dreamt, he has not seen them realized. He's in jail for God's sake. His dreams told him, you shall be number one. You shall be on top. The sun and the moon will bow to you. The sheaves will bow to you. But he's in jail. Note. You see, if you have dreams, there's a distance between your dreams and them coming true. That's a very crucial distance. God has set that distance to be undetermined. He never tells you how long it will take from your dreams for them to come true. The reason is, it's for one reason. God wants you, in that time that you are dreaming and you're hoping for the dreams to come true, here's a test. Are you going to be bold enough to prepare for them to come true and help others to help others' dreams to come true? So if you ever think your dreams will come true, you must ask yourself, have I ever helped anybody's dreams to come true? Joseph was in jail with some other king's prisoners, the butcher and the butler. They dreamed dreams in jail. See, Joseph did something that when others heard his dreams, hated him. Because he had every reason to hate anyone with better dreams. Because he has dreams that are not coming true. Hello? Note, if you will, when the butler and the butcher dreams, Joseph stands up, interprets their dreams. And their dreams come true. They are out of prison. He asked them only one thing. You're going to get out of here. I'll be remaining behind. When you're out there, please don't forget me. Now, people will forget you based on how you treat them when you're with them. But if you learn to understand that there's grace that should drip out of your tongue. You didn't hear me. Grace should drip out of your tongue such that in an unfair situation, that grace dripping out of your tongue should cause somebody to remember you. He says, remember me when you are out there. He didn't say, get me out, remember me. And the king himself this time had a dream, and nobody could interpret it. They say, look, we don't want to say we sound too funny or anything, but there's a Hebrew boy down in the pit. When we had dreams, he interpreted them. Maybe the king should call that boy, let him interpret it for him. See, the gifts that God gave you, in them are the keys of every door you want to be opened. Unless you use what God gave you and you're busy wanting what somebody else have, you'll stay where you are till forever. All Joseph had to do was not to cry when his God was going to save him. He just had to be himself in jail and interpret dreams when it comes. Heal the sick when it comes. And they remembered him. He came out of prison, not because they said he was guilty or innocent. He came out of prison because he had to come out and do what he knows best, interpret dreams. Because God was with him. Note, if you will, he comes out, interpret the king's dream. The interpretation of that dream caused Joseph not only to be now in charge of Potiphar's house, Potiphar was now a minor in the story. Potiphar was now a minor in the story. Now, Pharaoh looked at this young man from the land of Israel, and as if this was a copycat, if you would, the king did exactly what Potiphar did earlier. The king now says, listen, you can handle everything in Egypt. How you trust a prisoner, and a convict, if you will, with the economy of the country, with the welfare of your people? Joseph stands tall to take care of the Egyptian economy, the Egyptian government. Now, here's where we are in chapter 15. This is where I'm going. The Bible says, then there was famine, just like Pharaoh's dream suggested. There'll be 7 years of famine and 7 years of plenty. Note, if you will, in the years of plenty, God gave Joseph wisdom enough to make sure that in the years of plenty, they keep and they store, they save, if you would. Something that many of us yet must learn. Note, in the years of famine, no longer favor now, Egypt prospered more than it ever did in the years of plenty. Because God was with Joseph. I've got principles I want to share with you. I told you before, I'm not the mouthpiece. I'm not the sent one of this house, but I stand to echo his voice. Hear me if you would. There are three groups, if not four, in your life right now. Three groups of people that you, my brother, that you, my sister, you dare not retaliate against them. Let me calm down. There are groups of people, there are certain people in your life, I call them groups, that no matter what they do to you, no matter how bad they treat you, you dare not retaliate against them. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother. Come on, finish the scripture with me. Joseph is now standing in a position of power. His brothers come begging. His brothers come bowing down on their knees, asking for bread from him. Wait a minute, this sounds like that dream he had. Literally. He's now in a place of power. Let me pause before I tell you about these groups. The distance between your dreams and the fulfillment of those dreams will be shorter or longer based on the fact that have you matured enough? See, at the time when you dream the dreams, you may be an infant. At the time when you dream those dreams, you may not know how. You just know this big dream. However, there is a mission that God must achieve in you, that he needs you to be prepared, to be worthy, to be matured, to be able to execute those dreams. The 17-year-old boy who dreamed in his father's house was not prepared to handle the economy of the country. Yet God
trusted him with the same dream anyway. However, the reality of the dream only had to come once Joseph was mature enough. You will see he's matured when his brothers, who almost killed him, who lied about him, come begging for food. When they come, look how he treats them. I can tell you, a 17-year-old boy, he would have retaliated. He would have sought them out. But the years went by. Anger left Joseph. Maturity dropped in. Joseph understood the principles. Joseph understood the plan of God. At this time, he looked at them. And he says, am I now standing in the place of God? That you are coming begging bread from me? But note what he does. I'm speaking to somebody. If you want to know when will your dreams come true, you need to know, you need to realize, have you grown? Have you matured to handle this which God has shown you? If you have not matured enough, you will stay where you are, you will dream the dreams, you will hear the dreams, and that's all. They come before Joseph. He says to them, well, I want everyone, bring everybody. Bring your father, bring your brothers who are not here. Yeah, bring them. Did I hear somebody say, you can't go in without your brother? Did I hear somebody say that? Says, if you want food, I'm going to give you now enough to go and come back. Come with your father and everybody else and your brothers and your other brother you left. Bring him here. Let me start. No matter how bad your parents are, no matter what they do to you, I want you to hear me this morning. There's a group of people that your anger and your retaliation should not be given to. You don't dare retaliate. No matter how ugly your mother can be, no matter how unkind she treated you, you don't dare raise your voice against them. You don't dare be unkind to them. I remember you mentioned something about budgeting, and you ask, and you mentioned that when you get paid, you must send money to your mother, to your parents. Well, the old man is dead, so mother. I want you to let that drip in. It's not going to be well with you. It is not going to be well with you if you spend your energies, you spend your tongue, and the words out of your mouth against your parents. I don't care how educated you become. I don't care who you marry. I don't care what you drive. I don't care how prosperous it seems like your business is going. If you dare speak evil, listen to me. I'm talking of a legitimate case where his brothers, now let me add the brothers, where his brothers wanted to kill him. You don't dare speak evil to them. You don't dare retaliate. You don't dare revenge. God made them. See, we don't choose our families. Have you ever wondered why we don't choose our families? See, God set them there for your promotion. He set them there for your blessings. All you have to do all your life is manage them. Just manage them. Manage the irritation. They speak evil of your kids. Manage their mud. Just manage it. Do not get involved in their mud. Because you see, when God blessed you, your blessings were interlocked with them. They may hate you because you are successful. But my brother, you don't know how successful you can become. No, you don't know. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord is giving you. See, Proverbs 23, 25 says, let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. Your mother does not need an excuse to ask you for money. Yeah, no, when she calls for no reason, teach her e-wallet. Teach her for no reason. Give her a reason to smile for no reason. I will tell you why. Parents, see, we talk about principles. Parents represent God to you. Oh, no. I understand some parents can be, they can act like witches. I get it. Oh, no. I've not been a pastor too long, but I've been pastor long enough to understand, to think, look at the case in the counseling room thinking, why does this mother hate her daughter so badly? I mean, Pastor Ronald can vouch for me. I mean, there are parents who engineer divorce of their children. Engineer it. You look back, you're thinking, this was a plan. You're thinking, what? This is your child. But hear me good. You don't dare. I don't care what your sister did to you or your brother did to you. I'm talking to you. You learn the art of speaking kindly to them. You may not have the words, learn the art of speaking kindly to them. Even if they have a piece of a scrap car, find something good to say about that car. You know, there's some cars that the only thing valuable about that car is the tires on that car. But give your brother a praise for him being able to drive that car that is out of book value. If you can, buy him new tires if you have to. Second group of people that you don't dare, they are off limits to your retaliation. Don't curse them. That becomes your family. When I say your family, I'm talking about your spouse, your children. That's your family now. Here's a principle. You see, husbands represent Christ. You represent Christ to your wife. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. Your wife represents the church to Christ. Now, wife, no matter what your husband, and I'm going to say this again, no matter what your husband has done, as long as you call him your husband, find a punching bag somewhere, find somebody to retaliate, but not him. Husband, if this order has to be well in the house, I don't care. You see, here's a funny thing that always bothers me. You know, when you speak to this intelligent guy, you know, we walk around this smart people, Pastor Nilian, and then he'll be saying, it's like, I don't know why my wife is so dumb. And I look at this guy and I'm thinking, she's dumb, right? She used the same logic, the same mind. And it was the same dumb logic that she used to agree to marry you. Oh, you can't think. You'll use your mind. Oh, really? Now put it this way. The Bible has a nice way of putting it. It says, nobody destroys their own body. You cover it. You protect it. Now, that's a picture that God puts in the scripture of husband and wife. Find a punching bag elsewhere to curse if you have to. Go curse donkeys. Go curse pigs. In fact, pigs are easy to curse. Even Jesus did the same thing. He cursed them. Yeah, go curse pigs. Let them drown themselves if you have to, and then make pork afterwards. But anyway, whatever you do, not your husband, not your wife, not your children. By so doing, you are self-destructing. Against the things I'm telling you about, nobody can pray that curse away from you. Okay, you didn't hear me. When you're busy cursing your parents, when you're busy cursing your wife and your husband, there is no prayer that can be offered unto you to remove that curse that you have self-inflicted on you. No anointing oil can work on you. No fasting. I told you, whatever you add to one, it increases by one. If that is true, this is more true. I'll tell you. See, when you married your husband, when you marry your wife, you ask God to bless them. You ask God to bless. Now, this brings me to the next principle. You see, the reason why you cannot curse them, the reason why you cannot retaliate against them, is because you cannot curse something that God has blessed. By so doing, you are fighting against God. You did not choose your parents, did you? But God saw it fit. Maybe let's rewind. Do you understand that before you were born, God had a purpose? So imagine he has a purpose. God has a purpose. He puts it on the table. He has a purpose. God says to himself, who can I trust to fulfill this? And then God, imagine with me, goes all over the world looking which two people can birth that purpose. Oh no, it was no mistake that your stature, your height is what it is. God wanted somebody, he wanted a family that you were born into, he looked for them all over the world. They were white, yellow, eyes, green. He wanted you to have the eyes you have. He wanted you to have the heredity that you have. And when he met your parents, when he saw your parents, he said, perfect, these two will give birth to a son. These two will give birth to a daughter. Now that's a divine order. He chose. So when you stand against those, you're not standing against them. You are standing against God himself. See, if what I just told you right now is true, then you must consider what Ephesians 6, 1 to 3 says. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live a long life on earth. Now, God is taking this the next level. He already told you, honor your biological parents. Now he goes on to say, honor. Go back, let them see it. Go back. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Do you see that? Now, if you had learned the first command, if you had learned the first principle I gave you, honor your parents, you wouldn't dare now come in and dishonor your parents in the Lord. Because you should have learned that already at home. When you come in the house of the Lord, by this time, you should know what to do. You should know how to speak to them. You should know how you disagree with them. The scripture I read earlier on says, make your father glad. Let she who bore you be delighted. Am I speaking to somebody? What I'm telling you today has potential of removing curses that are bound on you for years. They were talking about breaking the yoke. I'm tired of singing songs of things I don't see. No, look, I don't know about you. I am tired about singing about things I don't see. No, I'm tired of singing scriptures to say I'm more than a conqueror when my life does not show that. Now here, listen to me here. Note this. If it has to be well with you, you have to know and honor your parents. Your tongue will cost you your destiny, will cripple you. There's somebody in this room right now. You have a threat. It's not yet discovered. The doctors have not proven it. But you are sitting where you are right now, and you are scared that you are getting cancer. Can I give you an advice? You don't even have to get that cancer. Listen to what I said, number one, and number two, and do it. That cancer will never set foot in your body. Oh, I can call you up in front, but I don't want people, everybody here know everybody. So let's not tell them. We break every yoke. We break what? They sing, oh, there's an army. Listen, if that army ever is going to rise up, if we're going to rise up as sons, sons, they obey their parents. They know that principle well. See? I told you, your husband represents the Lord. You represent the church, whom, coincidentally, the Bible says, and Christ died for. Died for. Not died with. That's what was wrong with the first Adam. He died with the bride. This last Adam died for the bride and thereby redeemed the bride. Note, then your family, if you get this, I'm done. Then your family represent the kingdom of God. If he is Christ, you the church, and you have a family, that is the kingdom. See, right there, then the kingdom of God will be established on earth as it is in heaven. You don't curse your children. And in turn, they don't curse you. I'm going to show you this, and I'll be done. There's a prophet in Israel. You find that in the book of Numbers 23:7-8. Somebody called him and said, listen, the Israelites have been coming, destroying nations. I want you to come and curse them for me. His name was Balaam. Now, he took an oracle and said, Balak, the king of Moab, has brought me from Aram, from the mountains of the east. Come and curse Jacob for me, and come and denounce Israel. And he asked, how shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? I wish I can tell you the story of Balaam and his donkey. I wish I can go on and tell you how God almost killed this prophet for attempting to want to kill or to attempting to want to curse a nation that God has blessed. Now, if I said your house is a kingdom of God, that's a nation of God. Now, if God blessed it, you don't dare curse what God has blessed. Balaam learned a hard lesson. A donkey started speaking to him. Allow me to wrap this up. If you thought, I'm done, curses and you are not friends. You are too blessed to be walking around cursing people. Listen to what the book of Proverbs is saying. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Now, you didn't hear me, and I'm going to have to make sure you hear me. Your enemy is brought by God to you so God can reward you. God is in a system of rewarding. God wants to reward you. Says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. By so doing, let's skip that part, God will reward you. Well, see, heaping of coals on your enemy's head, it's not your business. That's God's business. Take your hand out of it. Now, if you can do that with your enemy, how much of your brother? How much of your mother, your father who gave birth to you? May our tongues be gracious. May our tongues produce grace, drip of grace, as if it's honey. May your enemy be confused of everything she or he has done to you. And all you ever do, you speak peaceably to them. Listen to the matured Joseph. He spoke kindly to them. He comforted them. I mean, how do you comfort people who almost killed you? Tell them, go back to hell. But he spoke kindly to them. He tells them, listen. You meant it for evil. But you see, Joseph now knows God. Now allow me to close. If your journey in life does not bring you to know God, you are still far from completing any race in life. What you are going through has to only, listen, what you are going through, the only reason why you are going through what you're going through is so that you can know God differently. Now Joseph knows God better. He says, I'll tell you what you don't know. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I'm closing. I don't know if Jerome still will get a chance to do communion today. You dare not curse your parents, your family, or anyone whom the Lord has blessed. This is not a type of preaching that I like preaching. This is the type of preaching that your father should be saying to you. I told you, I'm just echoing his voice. So hear me today as a mouthpiece saying this to you. In you dwells God. And in the nature of God dwelling in you comes out blessings. And those blessings are locked for you and for everyone around you. Don't you dare contaminate that precious sacred well that God has put in you and start cursing around. No pain, hear me good, no pain. I don't care how they hurt you, no pain, no level of pain should have you disengage and abort your destiny. Let me help you. Is it Rebecca's womb where two nations were locked in? That's Isaac? Jacob and who? And Esau. Jacob traded his future because he was hungry. Do not let your physical pain or physical hunger ever let you trade your future. You have, hear me good, I'm closing. You have all that you need in you to complete what God has set for you to complete. It's in you. You just have to manage your environment. That's all you have to do. Just manage your environment. I'm heightened. I'm sure most of you always laugh at me that if I slept. I'm heightened now about babies and about how protective mothers get. I mean, Zamo could kill me over my own son. If I let him cry longer because I'm playing and I like hearing his voice crying, she comes from nowhere. Note, if you could be as protective over your destiny, don't you know bad company corrupts good character? Don't you know? Don't you know it's not what you eat that corrupts you, it's what comes out of your mouth? Don't you know? You are not going to amount to anything higher than what your mouth produces. Because you see, out of the mouth, see, comes what comes from the heart. And if your heart is corrupt, you are not going anywhere. When Jacob was about to die, Israel himself, he calls all of them, Joseph and everyone else. What did he do? He blessed them. He blessed them. And because he said it, I don't care whether he knew if it was going to happen or not. Just because he said it, in him, God had put power of altering the destinies of those children. Judah would have become nothing, but because of what his father said. In fact, you don't know, Judah is not the firstborn. Reuben was. But based on what his father said to him, Reuben is nowhere. Allow me to close. Let's go back to the basics. Am I hearing somebody choosing to do right? Do right by you. Do right by you. If the person I'm referring to is dead, your words are not dead. Speak well today about them, though they are dead. Yeah, ask forgiveness. Let it come out of your mouth. Is somebody hearing me this morning? Is somebody hearing me this morning?
Yes.
I'm not asking you to ancestral worship. I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you to deliver you from the curse you've put upon yourself. If they hurt you and they're dead, forgive them. Speak out of your mouth. Deliver yourself out of it. Otherwise, their dead corpse is better than your life. Because at least their dead corpse have arrived to a destination. We did say dust to dust, ashes to ashes when we buried them. I think I'm done. And I'm trusting every ear that has an ability to hear has heard. And every eye will see the works of the Lord. Jerome, I don't know if you're going to do this. I don't know if I'm going to allow you. I don't know. I'm thinking about it. Honor your parents. Obey your parents in the Lord, for it's right. I want you to practice that principle. I told you what he said on Friday. I got scared. I was somewhere in the corner. I got scared. I thought, hey, I'm being punished. He mentioned clearly that it looks like I'm not listening to all the prophecies that are coming out. You remember? Yeah. I got scared. I'm thinking, oh. But you see, I told you I'm going to pretend like I didn't hear him. See, that's happening when you're home. You can just pretend like you didn't hear. You know, your parents calling you in that room. You sit in the other place playing PlayStation, pretend like you're not hearing. Up and they say, I'm talking to you. Like, oh, me. So while I'm still at home, while I can still go to my father's house and hide in the room, while I'm here, I'm going to serve. And while I'm serving, I'm going to ask you to open your eyes and learn the art of honoring, obeying your spiritual parents. Can I say that again? You know, I think sometimes we messed it up because we only limited this to contributing money, to contributing physical material things. But I want to tell you, we said all those things, we did those things, so at least you can learn. It's an outward expression of what's supposed to be inside. Hello, talk to me. Yeah. And I know for a fact, hear me good, I know for a fact, if you can do it, if you can let your money do it, well, somewhere, somehow, your inner condition will be conditioned. In my family, we had a lot of birthdays, and they are on the 18th, you know. For some reason, all of them, except the 1st of November, which is my younger sister, and happened to be you also. But anyway, you need to memorize even their birthdays. Yeah? Yeah, let them forget when it's their birthdays, but let them be reminded by your kindness. Are you hearing me? Yeah, you know, he's only 40. How old are you? 47. It's only 47 again. For the 47th time, he's 47 years old. Let him stay 47 and let him forget when his next 48th birthday is coming. Obey them. How do you obey? Honor them. Is that making sense? Come on, talk to me. I want to finish. I told you I'm done. You're not helping me to finish. Is that helping you? You know, I was telling Dad, but I didn't tell you. You know, sometimes he preaches. Now, unlike you, you may not know this. Sometimes I get impatient with his preachings. I'm confessing. I can do this. This is homeless. No, sometimes I don't like how he preaches. Listen, this man can labor a point, right? He'll stick on one issue. And I'm thinking, I got it already, move on already. But you see, I learned that he knows his flock. And he attends to it. And it's okay if I hear it over and over and over. And sometimes I don't understand what he's saying. No, I don't. But guess what? That is no reason for me to speak ill of him. Oh, that is no reason for me to say, listen, I now have a PhD. You don't have a PhD. Simply because it's a principle. You honor them. You obey them. Because if I can tell you, if you didn't have them, you wouldn't even have that PhD. Oh, you didn't hear me. Oh, you wouldn't even have it. I cannot sit here, I can stand here and explain to you how grace works. Did I tell you I was suffering from a heart condition? I told you we didn't pray. We didn't do anything. If any of you know him, I mean, half the night he was washing dishes and I was sleeping. You guys don't know him. But I woke up and I have no issues. My cardiologist said, I understand what you're saying, but there's nothing wrong with you. Is there anybody here with cardiac problems? Come, let me show this to you. Come. Let's deliver this to you. If they ever said, let me explain what I mean by cardiac problem. If your heart beats irregular sometimes, if sometimes you have chest pains, quickly come. Let's help you. Let's heal. Let's help you of those things. Let's heal you. Yeah. You said there's healing in this house. Come, let's heal you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Yes. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, in the name of Jesus. I told you before, it wasn't prayer that healed. Love healed me. Now, I'm sure the people in front here, what I speak, they understand. I don't know how you got attacked, but I had this condition that there will be a pain that will arrest this part of my body and I'll go out of breath. It happened to me on the pulpit. Now, check this. We as pastors, sometimes we have to pretend. I was standing in Newcastle preaching there, and I felt like I'm going to drop dead because somehow I had no breath. There was this pain, excruciating pain, holding right here. I stood in the pulpit, and this is what I did. And they all started laughing. That gave me time to catch my breath. Some nights, let me help you this. Maybe I'd never explain this story to you. Some nights, I never knew if the next morning I'm going to wake up breathing. Then I made a promise. I made an agreement with the sun. Oh, yes. I'll tell the sun, let's see if I'll wake up before you or you wake up before me. Yes, which is why I'll always wake up before the sun and I'll tell it, I saw you first. Those are small steps to my total healing. Oh, no, right now, with Kamani involved, I don't even know when the sun came up. God is healing you right now. As I'm talking, you are getting healed. I want you to know that. He's faithful like that. Faithful like that. I don't know. What are you playing? You were here the whole time. You never played anything. What happened to you guys?
I'm playing.
I can't hear you. You're supposed to play. Dad, I'm just going to ask you to hug them. That's all I'm asking you to do. Just hug each one of them. Tell them God loves them. and you love them, and they are healed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the, come, let the whole church stand up. Let the whole church stand up. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Healing, healing in Jesus' name. Heart restored in the name of Jesus. 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 Restored, restored in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Restored completely in the name of Jesus. In the name of, pain is gone completely in the name of Jesus the Christ. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord.
Bless your name, O Lord.
Morning, yes. Let's remain standing. Were you convicted by that word this morning? Amen. I was really. I can